And we thank you. We hope Mr. Giroux feels better soon. And we're going to go on to the sixth case, which is number 073141, and it's Janum versus Mukasey. Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Kevin Rake. I represent the petitioner in this case, Omar Janum. Mr. Janum is a Jordanian citizen of Palestinian descent who is basing a claim for asylum in the United States on persecution on account of his homosexuality. I don't believe, based on the brief that we submitted and the government submitted, that the facts in this matter are in dispute. And the facts that are key to this case are as follows. Mr. Janum testified in front of the judge. They attended university in Amman.
We know all the facts in this case, so let's, and you only have 10 minutes, so let's get right to it.
If I can.
Did you present any evidence regarding actions by the government against homosexuals that would indicate the government is unable or unwilling to prevent the type of persecution that Janum suffered?
I was not counsel at the time of the hearing in front of the immigration court, Your Honor. But based on the record, I believe that there was documentary evidence that was submitted in addition to Mr. Janum's testimony that would indicate that the government, although not unwilling to help, may be unable to. And that evidence was submitted at the record from pages 223 to 295 and 304 to 311. And what that consisted of was a report from the British Embassy or Consulate indicating that homosexuality is illegal in Jordan, and that as a result, it was warning British citizens who were visiting that if they were homosexual, if they were going as couples, they should avoid any displays of affection in public or outward displays of their homosexuality for fear of facing a possible arrest by the government for their actions. There was also a report submitted by the U.S. Agency for International Development, which indicated that sexual activities and homosexuality in particular are topics that are strictly not discussed in Jordanian society, and they're often stigmatized. The USAID report was dealing more specifically with HIV and AIDS treatments in Jordan, was indicating that treatments are very difficult, and education is almost non-existent because of the social stigma against that. There was also an Amnesty International report, which dealt in part with Islamic and Sharia law treatment of homosexuality and indicated the persecution and fears that people face because of that within the Islamic world. And I would note that the USAID report itself indicated that people with HIV/AIDS, which we can presume would include members of the homosexual community, faced persecution on account of their HIV status.
Now, the record indicates that security responded quickly to the attack at the university. Was that a private security force of the university or public law enforcement officers? Do we know?
To my knowledge, Your Honor, it was the university security force. I don't have evidence that would indicate if the university itself employs, if government agents provide that security or if it's a private force. It would seem to indicate from Mr. Janum's testimony when the security asked if a police report should be filed, if more action should be taken, that they themselves are a private force. I would note that some of the government's and the judge's argument were that the private security force did respond to the attack, but they didn't respond in light of protecting him against attacks on account of his homosexuality. They saw what, by Mr. Janum's testimony, was a beating occurring on university grounds. It wasn't as if they saw him and knew he was being attacked because of his sexual orientation. They responded to an assault, which I assume that the private security would respond to an assault on any student as a matter of their duties. Mr. Janum did testify to the social stigma and the fear and disdain that is attached to homosexuality in Jordanian culture. And he has indicated in his own testimony that while his parents may suspect he is homosexual, he has never admitted this fact to them. By his own testimony, he's admitted this only to a Saeed, who apparently was his partner or lover in Jordan, and to one friend. He feared reporting this to the police or to anyone further after this attack because he knew he would be confirming to his parents and his society a sexual orientation that he himself has trouble accepting and that he has stated that his society stigmatizes and that causes him psychological harm by virtue of that stigmatization. So I think it is reasonable that Mr. Janum did not seek to report these incidents further as he felt they would only draw more attention to his sexual orientation, which he saw correctly as the cause of the abusive phone calls, threats, and even physical attack that he suffered on the university grounds. The immigration judge didn't make an express credibility finding, but as the government did point out, assumed the testimony to be true for purposes of analysis. I think it's a bit muddled in that the judge does talk about corroborating evidence, but doesn't link it directly with whether or not he's deeming the testimony credible on its own, but rather for just the persecution, both past and well-founded analysis. And I think the judge hits on the key factor that we need to look at here, but then does not link it to the facts in the case. And what the judge said in his opinion, which is page 10 of his opinion and page 50 of the record, is that this is a question of risk assessment. Is there a risk to Mr. Janum that because of his homosexuality, is there at least a reasonable possibility in the future that he will be persecuted because of his sexual orientation? Now, other circuits have indicated that even a 10% chance of future persecution is enough. I believe Mr. Janum has indicated that there is at least a 10% chance of persecution on account of his homosexuality. He reported a number of threatening phone calls, both to his house, to his parents, and other family members, and to himself. Those phone calls occurred before he was attacked at the university. He testified credibly to an attack against their house. There was apparently gasoline or some sort of incendiary object that was thrown at the house before the physical attack. He testified to the physical attack itself in February of 2002, involving numerous verbal assaults, physical beating, and an attempt to actually light him on fire. They referred to him as hated and satanic, indicating that he would go to hell, that his activities were un-Islamic, that his parents were not following the ways of the Quran because of what his behavior was perceived to be. Those threats continued even after the attack and before Mr. Janum fled and came to the United States. There is a pattern over a number of years of his orientation, his homosexual orientation, being used by the society as a reason to attack him both verbally and physically. And I think that indicates that even if the police are willing to help him, the scope of the stigmatization and dislike for him is so broad that they would be unable to protect him from this. I don't mean to suggest that every homosexual in Jordan would be entitled automatically by virtue of that to asylum in the United States. Mr. Janum has an actual pattern of harassment, threats, and physical attack on account of his sexual orientation. I think when we look at all of those things, whether or not past persecution was established by virtue of the attacks and the threats, which I believe it was, I believe he has established that he has both a subjective and objectively well-founded fear of future persecution on account of his sexual orientation. The only way that I can see that Mr. Janum could avoid future attack would be either to continue to deny his own sexual orientation, to try and hide it from the society at large, as he's already tried to hide it from his own family, or to live a life of celibacy. In Karuni v. Gonzalez, a case from the Ninth Circuit, the court addressed a Lebanese homosexual who was seeking asylum. He also hadn't told his family because of fear of ostracism. And the court basically said that he faced a Hobson's choice. Even if it could be guaranteed that returning to Lebanon, he would not be persecuted for his past homosexual acts, he would face persecution for his future acts or have to live a life of celibacy to avoid being harmed because of his sexual orientation. That is not something that our asylum laws condone. We do not force a person to give up a fundamental part of their humanity. And I believe the Supreme Court's ruling in Lawrence v. Texas would indicate that homosexuality is a fundamental part of a homosexual's existence, and it would be unfair, certainly, to require him to give that up in the hopes of remaining safe.
With the very fact of this case not become known if he were returned?
I certainly think there's a possibility of that, Your Honor. He's been absent from Jordan since 2002. There were already a number of suspicions and about his sexual activity and attacks against him based on that, I think it could be deducted by these people who aim to harm him that, you know, perhaps he came here to seek some sort of protection, or that he came here because of his homosexual orientation. And there is evidence in the record that the Western way of life, and specifically the U.S., is viewed with sort of a disdain by fundamentalists, especially those who would attack someone because of their sexual orientation. So I think that's certainly a risk that he does face as by virtue of this.
Thank you.
I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal if there's no further questions, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Fatouris. Good afternoon.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Thomas Fatouris for the Attorney General. The evidence does not compel the conclusion that the Jordanian government permitted criminals in the past to harm Mr. Janum or would permit them to do so in the future. Accordingly, this petition should be denied. There is simply no compelling evidence that the Jordanian government seeks to persecute homosexuals in Jordan or seeks to persecute Mr. Janum.
But Janum established that in Jordan it is illegal to be a homosexual, and it can result in prosecution and imprisonment. Why isn't that enough to demonstrate that persons who are homosexual cannot resort to the government to protect themselves against societal prosecution? In other words, whether enforced or not, why wouldn't the existence of that law have a chilling effect on the ability of homosexuals to seek protection from the government? I mean, who would go to the government and say, help me, I'm a homosexual, knowing that it's illegal to be a homosexual?
Well, first of all, the assumption is that homosexuality is illegal in the criminal courts in Jordan, and there's no evidence that that is the case. We have this report from the British embassy advising homosexuals that it is illegal. It's unclear what that means. Is that a reference to Sharia law, which is not followed in Jordan, and their criminal courts are civilian courts, or is that a reference to a Jordanian law? If there was such a law...
Does it really matter? If you have... governments warning individuals, this is illegal.
The warning would only matter if it actually affected the individuals in the country. The idea of persecution and the investigation into what constitutes...
You're trying to send them back to the country.
And the question for the immigration judge was, was he harmed in the past on account of his homosexuality by the government, or will he be harmed in the future? And the record is completely devoid of any evidence that any homosexual is harmed at the hands of the government, either through its acts or its omissions. And that is the key difficulty in this case for Mr. Janum. You have this one line, that the effect of which is unclear, and you have no evidence that Jordan treats or persecutes its homosexuals. And that is the fundamental failing of the matter.
Well, why should it be his burden to demonstrate that a law is enforced? Once he's identified a law that makes homosexuality illegal, why isn't that enough to show that the government is unwilling to stop persecution against homosexuals unless the government can demonstrate that the law is not in fact enforced and that people in Jordan know it's not enforced?
The that supposition has a series of suppositions leading to it. First of all, that the law exists and that therefore the police would not protect people from crimes. And in this case, we have Mr. Janum not referencing this law, actually coming to America and then returning to Jordan, apparently unaware of this law, and then refusing to go to the police, not because he feared arrest or harm, but rather because he feared scandal, again relating to religious societal pressures, not that the government would persecute him. Getting specifically to your question about the burden of proof in this matter, the board has answered this question in the cases of Chinese population control, where often asylees or asylum applicants produce evidence that there is some regulation or law prohibiting multiple births of children. And yet, The board has rightfully said the fact that there's a law exists is not evidence that the law is enforced and that whatever enforcement of that law constitutes persecution. Similarly, the converse of that is also true. The absence of a law or the glowing statements in a constitution that we protect people's rights is not dispositive that the country does so. Rather, it is the actions and then the evaluation of those actions, the evaluation of the harm that those actions cause that is of most importance in a persecution analysis.
Well, I mean, you know, Judge Zerbe noted basically that, well, he assumed that Mr. Janum was credible, and there's no doubt he was subjected to persecution, beaten, nearly burned, threatening calls to the home, fire, almost setting fire to the home. So we know that he's had these problems. Why wouldn't we think that if he went back, he wouldn't have problems? I mean,
well, first of all, there's no evidence he can point to in the record that he or any other homosexual returning to Jordan has had any problem. Secondly, when you say that this is persecution, the persecution is a legal term in this realm related to being a refugee. And persecution is more than just having heinous acts committed upon you or being subject to criminal actions. Clearly, in this case, we have a traumatic criminal assault. Persecution is, in for purposes of this case, the idea that the government either committed this or permitted this actions to occur and that they rose to that level. In Judge Zerbe's decision, it seems like he's put all those things together and said, when I look at all this, I look at the fact you didn't report it to the police, you didn't involve the police or the police didn't do this, that other members of society, and I think this is a private university, other members of society do not tolerate such criminal actions. They immediately came to his aid, and they believe that he should report this to the police. So they didn't have any indication that the police would not interfere or the police would not protect him. In fact, there's no evidence in the record at all that the police condone such criminal actions. And I think that is exemplified by the fact that these private individuals tried to stop it and tried to get him to go to the police. And the fact that Mr. Janum could have provided such testimony. He could have said, as a homosexual in Jordan, the police won't help me. If anyone should be aware of the treatment of homosexuals in Jordan, Mr. Janum could have provided that evidence. And he didn't. He feared scandal. And I think what Mr. Janum fears is what a lot of people in this world fear, is that there is a lot of harassment and prejudice based on religious grounds, based on racial grounds, throughout the world. And the question in this case is whether the Jordanian government would treat him in this manner or would permit other people to persecute him. And that is where the evidence fails in this case. And that is why he hasn't pointed to any evidence in the record. And I'd like to also point out that Judge Zerbe attempted to create multiple claims for him. Said, are you sure you don't have something about being a Palestinian? Bring me something about Israel. Are you sure you can't get more evidence about the treatment of homosexuals in Jordan, some adverse, that they treat them poorly, that they persecute them? And he gave him 11 months. He heard the testimony, and Judge Zerbe said, wait a second here. Is there more evidence you can go get? And gave him 11 months to do it. And he didn't bring it forward. The implication from that is either he didn't look for it, but that's not supported by the record because we have evidence. The other implication could be that there is no evidence, especially compelling evidence, that Jordan seeks to harm homosexuals. For these reasons and the reasons set forth in our brief, the decision of the board should be affirmed and this petition should be denied.
Thank you, Mr. Fitoris. Thank you. Mr. Rekha? We'll give you 1 minute because you used your time up.
Thank you, Your Honors. If I can, I believe, with respect to Mr. Fitoris, that the government is conflating actual persecution by the government of Jordan and its inability or possible unwillingness to assist Mr. Janum and stop persecution that's occurring against him. I believe that they're basically asking him to provide evidence that the law is enforced against him. This is equivalent to the Nigerian drug cases that this court has addressed. There's a Nigerian law that says that anyone convicted of a drug crime will be sentenced further when they return to Nigeria. and certain immigration judges have said, well, we don't have evidence this law is enforced. You're basically asking a Christian in ancient Rome who's harmed because they're Christian to go to the Roman authorities and tell them they're harmed because of it and then hope they're not harmed further because of that. With respect to the judge's opinion, I think it is not supported by substantial evidence on the record and that this petition should be granted and this matter remanded to the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Thank you. Thanks to one and all. The case will be taken under advisement. This court will now be in recess until Monday morning at 9:30. Thank you. Bye, everyone.